Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He's doing great and wonderful things through those who yield to Him. The last broadcast, we talked about the power of yielding. The most powerful people I know, they yield to the Lord. They do the greatest works. Not the works that seem the best or the most boastful works. Sometimes people seek out the power, and they're trying to get God to do their will. And for the sake of His people, things can look very good. Sometimes when people begin following God, they do things that God say do, and it's just powerful. It's something that a man couldn't come up with. But when you stay steady, and when you stay steady with following God, you do a powerful work. Sometimes that work can be seen, and sometimes it's not. The work of God, God is after hearts. When you go back in history, there was an angel called Lucifer, and he was designed to do a great and wonderful purpose. When you study Ezekiel 28, the Lord made him with every precious stone, and the glory of God will illuminate from him. And wherever he go, it'll look like a rainbow. When you study Revelation in the New Jerusalem, it's going to have 12 foundations of those same precious stones. And the streets are like gold. It said every precious stone was Lucifer's covering. And you see the same foundations, the same stones that's listed in that Lucifer was made out of it. The New Jerusalem is made out of the same thing, each foundation. And that's where we will live. That's where the people of God will be. And the glory of God will shine. And it would make the most beautiful rainbow through that city. Now, the Lord had a purpose for a light bearer. I was studying that one day, and the Lord said, a thought came to me, why would the Lord need a light bearer? And the Lord started giving me revelation about why Lucifer was designed, was made. And he was a holy angel until iniquity was found in him. And what caused him to become Satan was, he said five statements in Isaiah. I will ascend above the clouds, the stars. I will sit also in the great congregation, in the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High. He made five statements. He traded his love for God for grandeur. He fell because of his wisdom and his beauty. God gave him great wisdom and great beauty. Now, among men, Solomon represents Lucifer. How God gave him wisdom. He was the son of David the king. Now, David possessed his kingdom. He was anointed king, but he had to take it. Just like God made the universe. And then he gave Lucifer a portion of dominion. But it was not like cold religions say he was the next thing to God. He was the most powerful angel, but that's not true. If he had to ascend over five realms, he was not. He was not a leading angel at all. He was more like Adam. In fact, Adam took his place. So it's safe to say that he was in the same position Adam was in, because Adam, this earth is where God made Adam to rule the earth, to lease. He gave he leased the earth to Adam when he made him. He had 6 years to run it, and then it will go back to God on the seventh year. So Lucifer was in Adam's position. Adam took Lucifer's place. We know that he was on the planet because he had to ascend above the clouds. Now, all of these are realms he had to, he aspired to conquer. He was not nowhere near close to Jesus, to the Son of God. At that time, Jesus was the Word of God. You know, you have to have understanding. Charles Capp said, theologians are almost always wrong. Men try to understand, you know, explain God's word with their mind. You got to do it from the heart. You got to do it after God, after the Holy Spirit revealed it to you. It's not safe to preach things without revelation. But I got scripture to back up everything I just said. If Adam took Lucifer's place and Lucifer was next to Jesus, then Adam would be too. We're made in the image of God. He was trying to conquer realms that were there anciently. Now, false grandeur is what get people in trouble. Remember how the world, that's how the world system started. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, pride of life. He looked within. Pride looks within. He looked at his beauty and his wisdom, and he wanted attention for it. And he wanted the same worship that goes to God. He lusted out the power. And that's the opposite of yielding to God. This kind of pride becomes opposition. I asked the Lord, what's your definition of pride? He said opposition. It's the direct opposite of who God is and how God is and the ways of God. It's the opposite of his love, his wisdom, his character, his mindset, his intentions. That's what pride is. And it develops when people lust after grandeur. They want to be in control. They want to be first. They want to be noticed. And the enemy always tempt people like he was tempted. He think we want to be like him. I don't. I hate what he became. He should have stayed holy. But he didn't. Even with all the wisdom he had, he turned. Because when you change your focus, it changes everything. When you change your focus, it changes everything. When you look to the Lord, when you look to God, when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, my friend, everything will be put in perfect order. I remember one day Elder Lewis made a statement. He said, you know, he was talking about how when people grow, people will one day say, you know, that's a together person. And I said, you know, I want to be like that. I want to be a together person. I want to have things. I want to do things the right way. And I want my life to reflect the heart of God. Not in grandeur. Not to be preeminent over others. I just want to do what's right because it's right. I want things in my life to be in order. When I want, you know, I didn't have my own house at that time. I said, when I get my house, I want it to look nice. I want it to have a well-kept yard. And though I'm a mechanic, I don't want all those cars in the yard. I want my house to be nice. I want the inside to be clean. I want to be a man of my word. I want to love everybody. And I even had a message saying, I want to be just like God in the sense of character and love and wisdom. I want to grow in his image. I'm made in his image and I want to grow in his image. I don't want to stay in seed form. I don't want to remain a baby saint or a child saint or a teenage saint. I don't want to just be a young man. I want to grow old and full of courage and bravery. I want the things of God to, I want to be mature in him. We talked about maturity. I want to be that man. I didn't have the strength to do it. I didn't have the knowledge or wisdom to do it at the time. But I was growing. And I started asking the Lord to help me do it. I said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. I realized I couldn't do it. Just like when the theologians teach, they can't do it either. They just trying to, which is honorable. I like when people try. But in order to be accurate, you got to have revelation. You got to study God's word and keep him first. Let God reveal it to you. Now, I talked about in the last broadcast, I mentioned how when the Lord gave me wisdom for my business, and it was something I needed to know a long time ago at the time. He gave it to me, this wisdom, in 1988. This was my second year in business. And I made plenty of mistakes because I didn't realize, I didn't know, I didn't have the revelation that he gave me that day. And I saw how this was really going to put me over and bless me, help me not avoid mistakes. And I said, Lord, you knew I needed to know this a long time ago. Why didn't you tell me? He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he cannot learn the ways of the Father. But he said, he can't learn the ways of the Father. And he cannot learn God's ways. It's impossible until you start trusting him. And that happens when you receive his word. Well, where do I start? Just start filling your heart with his word. Fill your heart with his word. Fill your heart. Don't worry about the problem. Don't never focus on what's wrong. You know it's wrong. God knows it's wrong. Something's got to be dealt with. But don't focus on that. Look at him. Jesus. Peter looked at, he, as long as he was watching Jesus, he walked on water. When he changed his focus, he began to sink. And notice, he didn't just sink, he began to sink. And then when he looked at Jesus, he walked back to the boat and stopped walking and stood on the water and stepped into the boat. And they didn't take a few steps, because at that time of day, he would have had to walk a while because he couldn't recognize Jesus. Jesus was too far away. And he would have shouted, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. And he had walked a while, but then along the way, he looked at the water and began to sink. And now he had got close to Jesus, because Jesus put his hand out and picked him back up. And then they walked back to the boat on the water. Don't look at your problems anymore. Don't look at what's not. Don't even look at the desires. You know what you ask God for, you're going to get it. But look at him. You're going to get it according to his methods, his wisdom. You're going to get to know him that way. If you look to the Lord, if you seek him, you're going to find. There is guarantee in the word of God. You will not be disappointed. I promise you, you will not be disappointed if you stick with the process that God reveals to you. Once he gives you wisdom, stick with it. Don't deviate. Don't give up and do something else. You'll never get to know God that way. Because when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn the ways of the Father. And leaning is like voting. You know, when you vote, that's who you chose. When you lean to your own understanding, you're voting on your own understanding. And then you give your final answer. Mr. Philbin used to say in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? He says, that's your final answer. Your final answer is what you're leaning towards. Now, sometimes when you're seeking the Lord and before you have all the revelation you need, you're just going to have to keep looking at him. And people say, what are you going to do? You don't know what you're going to do. You're going to do what God revealed. Just tell him, I'll let you know when I know. Or I'll let you know later. Because people are not used to following God, and they'll probably try to talk you out of it and try to rush you into a snap decision like Satan does. That's how the world do things. They're impatient. I even heard a pastor one time, he said, just make a decision. You can't just make a decision. Not when you're doing God's business. That's haphazard. Sometimes you have to go and pray. In Acts chapter 13, I think it was chapter 13. They didn't just go somewhere and start preaching. They went in prayer. And then the Holy Spirit started delegating. The church have got to get back to that. And it's a shame. Now Jesus is about to come and they still ain't got it yet. The prayer room first. And then the assignments will be distributed to you. I once saw a vision how the Lord had a desk. And he had a stack of papers. And his hand was on top of the papers. And he was, you know how when somebody's waiting on something, they just kind of relax their fingers on top of the paper. You know, he couldn't pass them out yet. He was waiting to pass them out. And he was tapping his fingers on the paper one at a time, you know, like he was waiting on something. He that was a holdup. He couldn't give out those assignments because nobody had the patience and the wisdom to seek him first. Only those who yield to God will get the assignments. Once they're strong enough, brave enough, and they're ready to at least begin the process, then the Lord will release assignments. Now, when that happens, you're going to have great success if you stick with it. So, do what I did. I said, Lord, how do I solve this problem? Now I'm looking to the Lord. I'm leaning to him. I'm not leaning to me. You can't lean to both at the same time. I can't lean to myself and lean to God at the same moment. But once I looked to him, then he gave me the wisdom I needed. But when he said, when a man leans to his own understanding, he can't learn the ways of the Father. Now, I had just received revelation that's going to put me over. Now, I wanted to know what else am I missing out on? Because I was missing out on that perfect wisdom for years. So I started asking him greater questions concerning ministry, concerning soul winning, concerning character building. That's where I got the wisdom from to do these broadcasts. And a lot of years went by and nobody could receive that kind of knowledge until he did the broadcast. Now there are people who are hungry for it. And he's releasing it. Following God is powerful, but grandeur is the opposite. Now, when you follow God, you're going to do a glorious work. But see, your attention and focus is on the Lord, and you built his way. You became a good tree and you will bear good fruit and you will never desire pride. But Satan was after something glorious, beautiful, that will cause people to look at him and not God. And it turned him into the most wicked, the father of lies. It turned him into the first liar. Causer of lies and deceit. Everything about his kingdom is fraudulent. Everything. He is the opposite of God. That's why you don't need to be afraid of him. He's God is powerful. He's powerless. He's the most powerless person out there. The only power he has, his strong arm, is his ability to deceive. That's it. He's like a smoke of vapor. Nothing to him. All of his rage and all, it's just deceit. He's powerless. And all his demons are no better. Are they deadly? Yes, they are. They're like a plague. If they can get you on their belief system, you're just a dead man walking. But if you don't put in with him, and if you don't agree with him, and you'll never become the enemy of God. If you don't love the world system, and remember, everything works in seed form. If you don't lust after the flesh, the lust of the eye, which is greed and pride, if you hate those things, you'll always be the friend of God. If you fill your heart with God's word, you will have, you will develop in his image. But if you follow the path of Satan, you will become the enemy of God. So in ministry, many people want a great ministry. Why? You have to ask yourself why. Why do I desire to have a great ministry? What is my motive for it? Is it to get people saved and get out of here? Or is it to make a kingdom for myself? Why do I want to look good? Why do I want to be first? I mean, sometimes people call themselves apostles. And this went on in the early church. The Lord said, many say they're apostles and they're not. Then they're not apostles. But they say they are. I'm going to put it this way. The Lord called me to be an apostle. I didn't know what an apostle was. And I knew that was the way people would look at me, like I'm trying to be something I'm not, like I'm after some kind of grandeur. I knew this. I said, Lord, why do I have to do something different? that's just the mind of man again. So I understand the tug of war with the mind. But when he said, when he called me to be an apostle, I judged about what he had me doing. And in answering my questions, I couldn't deny what I saw the need of it. And by that time, I knew to yield to him. So I submitted myself and I received my calling. But even in that, I'm not an apostle who happens to be a Christian. I am a Christian who was called to be an apostle. I do this by love. I do what I do because I love God and his people. And I hate the unpleasant works of the world. And I don't want any of it in my heart. And I want to do all that's in God's heart. So I confess it by faith. What I don't know, it helps me to yield to God so I can learn. When people get into grandeur, that's a false life. But when you operate by the love of God, you become like him. You're already made in his image, and you become like him. As he is, so are we in this world. We have the potential to do all the great and wonderful works of Jesus, and even greater works than he did. If we believe, that's the only condition. If you believe him, you'll vote on him. You'll lean on him. You'll look to him and you'll obey him. This kind of understanding comes from the love of God. He loves us so much and he's going to help us do all that's in his heart. If that's what we desire, if we're willing and obedient, we will do well. We will eat the good of the land. Willing and obedient. Not just willing, but we'll do the works of willingness to the point of obedience. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord.